When Kurt Campbell was drafted into the Army, he wanted to join the cadets at Rantoul Chanute Air Force Base. That idea was shot down because he couldn't remain conscious long enough at high altitude without oxygen. Yet Campbell still went up on bombing missions over Europe as a waste gunner in a B-17 Flying Fortress. His eighth mission would be his last. His crew's plane went down over the Netherlands into the Zuider Zee.
When I came to, his arms, legs, and water, didn't even seem like the floor in the radio room. And I hung on with one hand and tossed nine guys out of the thing, or helped them out. I stepped in my hand and I was thinking I was throwing them out. But so then when it came my time to get out, I couldn't lift myself. So I really screeched at the people to pull. And we got in this 2 5-man dinghies. And here we watched the plane. It took a real nice dive, very gracefully, and into the water, and she was gone. And so there we are. What are we going to do? We're mad. We're wet. We're hurting. Back was hurting me.
They asked friend or foe when a boat came to their rescue. It was the foe, the Germans. After time in an Amsterdam jail, Kurt Campbell and his crewmates were taken in a boxcar to Stalag 17B in Austria. The food there was meager. There was little to do. And according to a report from military intelligence, treatment there ranged from not good to brutal. In April of 1945, the brutality worsened. Prisoners were forced to march nearly 300 miles away from the advancing Eastern Front.
What we had to eat there was, I won't say nothing, but we probably had something. And it was in this woods, and so they had a nice bonfire going to keep warm, and it rained, and it poured, and it snowed. And pretty soon we started going blind. And found out that we had the tar off of the smoke of the pine trees was making a film over your eyes, so we had to back away from the stove.
Eventually, a month later, a U.S. unit intercepted them. Campbell remembers a transport arriving to take them to a camp in France for liberated prisoners. It was called Camp Lucky Strike.
They let a board down, and this guy got in, and I don't know where they landed near Lucky Strike. How we got from where the plane landed to Lucky Strike, I don't remember that. But they had a line there, and the guy was giving out juice, this or this, and I'll take one of each. And so he reached under the table and gave me a mixed can. And they didn't feed us hardly anything, and I guess that was the wise thing. I mean, they fed us often, but not much, right. At a time.
Just to try to regain your regain your strength.
By that time, my belly was already full from them rations I got. Anyway, I don't remember how we got from Camp Lucky Strike to get on a boat. And I suppose Lucky Strike, 10 days maybe, I don't know. And they fed us real good and was real careful about letting us have too much. So then I get on the boat and they give us some money, so I bought a box of candy, and then I was sick all the way home.
But Campbell was free. What he brought back, aside from memories, was a pair of gloves that he put together because there wasn't much else to do in the camp. He made them from a sweater that came through the Red Cross.
Well, I unraveled a sweater from a lady in Kentucky. I didn't keep the name of the lady. So I unrolled it and put it in a nice ball. And then this guy taught me how to knit. And I've done a pair of socks and this pair of gloves. And one of the gloves I lost in my courting days. But it still fits, if I can find it.
So you're wearing your POW gloves on dates.
They're red.
Those have been really good.
It was even two different colors even. And girls see that, and they said, I don't know how in the world you done it. But the lady had her name up there on the back, no tag on the back of it, and she was from Kentucky. It'd been nice if I could have kept that thing and maybe some way I could have found out where she lived, or some way, somehow.
Kurt Campbell believes that only three of his B-17 crewmates are still alive, but he was fortunate to have reunited with them back in 1971, and a few years later they assembled at his farm northeast of Hoopston near the Indiana border. And after decades of keeping the story to himself, Campbell wrote down his memoirs and occasionally speaks to groups about his time behind enemy lines, just so no one forgets. I'm Tom Rogers. AM 580 News.